approval for the agenda. Can I have a motion for the agenda?
Move we approve the agenda.
All second, sir.
Sorry, sir.
That's all right.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, the agenda's approved. Allow the public comments first. Okay, no public comments yet. Okay, the first item is the 100-mile ultramarathon foot race variance. Discussion and possible action. So Al, this is a variance for what's, give me the run, what's the regular price and what's the discount they're asking for?
I believe Katie's here. Why don't you come on up? To answer your question, President Zuber, basically the regular price is 17, I think it is, right? 17? And the...
What's the total? Because I know they're spending some hours. What's the difference between the total, what they're asking, and or what we're asking?
Yeah.
And what's the discount they're asking?
It's about, $80?
It was $80 difference.
It's like an $80
discount. It's a discount. It's an $80 discount.
Correct. Over the whole 3 days.
Over 3 days. Or
correct.
$80. And so what is the full price? Do we have that here somewhere?
Oh. Yeah. You put in there.
We had it here, but apparently I don't
need to calculate that out.
I think last year our total price was $560, but I know that this year it was going to be less because
right.
If someone is using the building already on Friday and we're going to be up in the depot, we didn't really need to set up or anything on Thursday, so we weren't really.
So you don't need the building
on Thursday. No.
On Thursday, so no. It was $560 last year.
Yeah.
And it was going to be $391 this year.
Is the building being used overnight? Are people sleeping in it like they don't have to?
No.
I'm still confused on the time we're being here.
Yeah.
Do you come in on Friday when?
Friday morning at 7 o'clock.
But you're not renting the building.
But we're not renting the building. So this year, I guess, what Tammy and I had worked out is that we would use the parking lot or the gazebo to do our check-in in the morning till about noon. And then we would use it as normal for the afternoon and dinner in the
So the building from 12 p.m. until 6 a.m. the next day? Are you
yes.
Saturday morning?
Yes, we're out at 6 a.m. the next morning, but we don't use it overnight. We're out by 7 or 8 p.m., I believe, on Friday.
Okay.
And then it's 3 hours on Saturday morning.
On Saturday morning. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so from $17 an hour to $13.50 are the standard rates.
Right.
How does that work with the farmer's market?
It doesn't interfere with them at all. Farmer's markets could be outside, and it won't interfere with them.
Okay.
At least it hasn't in the past.
Okay? Farmer's market.
That's in the past. We make sure to come in and announce all the runners that if anyone has cars in the parking lot that they need to move so that the farmer's market can set up.
Okay.
It's been that way for
a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a while.
Okay. All right. Any comments on the variance?
Have you always paid the $13.50?
Well, actually, in the past, I've been the Wrightwood coordinator for the race for the past couple of years, but before it was a woman named Pat. And I guess when they used to rent for the county, they used to not pay anything in exchange for the amount of business that the race brought to Wrightwood. And so when I took over last year, since I am a Wrightwood resident, I had applied for the Wrightwood resident rate since it was a cost that the race never incurred in the past. So at the very least, I had applied for that and was approved last year. So.
It was approved after the fact.
Oh, it was?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it
just didn't come in time.
Okay, gotcha.
So do you charge the runners or walkers or whatever?
I don't personally, but the race does charge the runners.
What's the charge for participants?
How many do you know?
Around $100, $350.
How many people
$350 per person?
For Chesapeake.
We also have to pay for all of the permitting throughout the forest as well, which is a hefty cost, so that's why.
Runners are under $200.
Okay.
And where's the company? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Where's the company located? Virginia?
Arcadia.
Oh, here. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think that that's city insurance that the race organization pays into. That may be where you get Virginia out of. I think that the insurance company is based out of Virginia.
So we should send the table this to the insurance company? Let them know? I'm kidding.
Okay.
So on this request for variance, it says, and future racing. So are we voting right now on 2019, or are we voting on...
Actually, it would be something to come up every year. Because variances, as you have the variance system set up, it's annual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it says plus future rate dates on here, so...
Yeah, we have our permit secured for the next 9 years, I believe, to keep... It's an annual rate, so...
But you would have to come every year and get this variance.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me
that. Right. Okay. What do you think, Sean? Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
I was going to make a motion to approve it.
Okay.
Well, is this considered Parks and Rec, or is this considered the Chamber of Brightwood, Chamber of Commerce?
I think just given the amount of...
I know we're not talking the whole bunch of dollars.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that almost anything can be construed as Parks and Rec. I think that's sort of out the window for me. Because that just gets defined into Parks and Rec if we wanted to.
Well, race of this nature would certainly qualify as Parks and Rec. The issue, I think, would be that it's not targeted at the Brightwood community as participants. There's a Brightwood community, or Brightwood is the location for the starting point, but not the target of...
I think it's good for the community, but I think it doesn't quite meet the criteria of benefiting the CSD.
If I could add one thing, my husband and I, who are here, and also another co-race director, Gary Hilliard, who's also Brightwood community member, the race itself, we all put in, every runner is required to put in 8 hours of trail work on the local Angeles National Forest Trail.
Oh, that's a good point.
We're the only people that really maintain a lot of those, and I know personally, we live at the top of Acorn, and we basically maintain that trail for the community because no one else is doing it.
Right.
And we require our runners to do that. That's kind of how we do it.
They do that after the, or before the race or something?
Before
or?
The race. You are not allowed to start the race unless you have contributed 8 hours of trail work on Angeles National Forest Trail.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Trail.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 59.
So there's that, and we also started last year collecting food for the local food bank that we got at the Sunrise Church, just as yet another way to give back to the Brightwood community.
Well, I would say maintain the trails direct.
Directly related to
the food bank less so, but that doesn't, that's not the CSD.
Okay.
So if you charge the runners the $350 and you've got 200 runners, you really need that $81 as a variance?
I need it. If you said give me 81, I'd say okay. I would not step over $81 just on the ground.
I will say I'm a volunteer. I'm a liaison between the race organization and the Brightwood community, and I'm just trying to create a good relationship with everyone, and I know that in the past it has been an issue because the race used to not be charged anything, and it's kind of put...
Is that right? It used to be free?
We've already been through this.
They know, and they used to use the building more. One of the race directors has said...
Oh, free here. You don't mean at the race.
Not for the participants, but they used to use the facility for no charge, just for the amount of trail work and for what they did for the community. I know it's been a sore a sore spot for the race organization, and I'm basically here as a volunteer trying to be the liaison between both, because I believe as a Wrightwood community member that it does do a lot. I see a lot of people not only coming race weekend and patronizing the businesses, but also they come up to train. My husband and I, as like younger runners, a lot of people contact us as well, and they're like, where do we stay? What do? And we see how much it's bringing to the community, so we're just trying to kind of be the in-between to make everyone happy.
Well, I would point out, though, that $13.50 is already extremely cheap. Or even at 17, but I mean they're going for what they want, 13.50. So that is, I mean, where can you get 13? You know, that's extremely cheap.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever had any interaction with our local schools like running clubs and such? Have they ever participated in helping do anything for them? Or?
We haven't, but it's for sure. My husband and I have only lived here for a couple of years now, and I know it's something we're definitely interested in. We're still trying to like become a bigger part of the community as well. So.
Have you ever done the 100-mile run?
Yeah, I've done it 6 times, and my husband's done it 6 to 12.
Stretcher.
I had a fresh on
10 years
ago. Anything over 50 yards. It's a life-changing experience for a lot of people. It's a cool event.
Wouldn't know, but we knew Wrightwood for it.
Yeah, that's okay.
Are we ready for a vote?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Can I have a motion to approve the variance?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the variance to accept the variance request for the AC 100.
For $13.50.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Okay, one no. One shut. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have the...
Oh.
Is there any public comments on that? I'm sorry, yeah. Sorry. John?
I'm sorry I'm late. lots of excuses. But I'd like to revert back, if I may have special privilege, to revert back to public comments for just a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. Is it a general public comment?
Yes.
Or,
5 minutes? Less?
No, 5 minutes. That's
3 minutes.
Can I have just three minutes? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Real quickly, I see that Caltrans has started to preliminary work on the widening of the Sheep Creek Bridge. So the next Tuesday, we are having a meeting for the CSD next Tuesday, correct?
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, Caltrans will be here.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions for Caltrans along that line, or any other questions referring to the highway 138 or freeway or highway 2, you know, if we don't like because the bridges aren't wide enough down there for the railroad crossing, then we need to bring all that up. And also, Wrightwood Village Trail, as we speak, has ordered 30 tons of decomposed granite. We're going to fill in the washouts and the ruts in the trail along through Highway 2, and we'll be doing that with Camp Fenner's crews and also some local backhoes that will be distributing it up and down Highway 2. And that will probably be not next week, but the week after.
Oh, that's very nice.
And
great.
Thank you. And I mentioned before that over by McDonald's, 138 and the 15, we're putting in a monument, Camp Cajon Monument. I've got all kinds of literature. I'll be glad to talk to you after the meeting, but we're still about $1,500 short of the funding that we need. The permits cost over $3,000, and the plaques cost over $6,000 that are going on there. So see me after the meeting if there's anything you can do to help. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Is there a GoFundMe account or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, there is. I'll get with you after the meeting on that.
Okay, because we could put that on the website.
Yes.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Can I make a public comment about the 100-mile rate?
Sure.
Still, okay.
Sure.
I commend you for giving the discount rate. Mike Trover.
Thank you.
I commend you for giving the discount rate. I don't know if everybody here understands the history. I don't understand all the history, but I wanted to bring up to speed on some of it.
Okay.
It's been going on for 30 to 35 years here in Wrightwood.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much attention. Starts at it starts Friday afternoon here, you do visit dinner, and the races take off at 5 a.m. Most of us don't get up that early. Some of us do come down and see it. I don't know. Just come down and see it. It's a great event. It puts us on the world stage. This is one of the premier ultramarathons we see in the country, if not the world. I see people coming in from all over the country. We'll have people from Mexico, from Europe, coming to this race. Let's write it on the map. Great deal. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Besides, the trail work they do is the only trail work that happens out there.
Yeah.
Forest Service doesn't do a darn thing anymore. They haven't done anything in 30 years.
Yeah.
These guys maintain the trail.
I love that.
Well, I know some mountain bike. I had some mountain bike cyclists. They do some stuff.
But yeah. They don't do anything on the Pacific Crest, and that's what these guys do.
No, they're not supposed to. But
that's right. These guys do the majority of the work.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 7, Brightwood Fire Safe Council Winter Traffic Meeting Variance.
John, you're up. Six and seven.
Brightwood Safe Council monthly variance. So this is Brightwood Safe Council.
I think 2 months ago, and made their presentation. There was a caveat at the end of it. You know, the board.
I can't hear you.
I understand that. The board approved the concept, but wanted to see what it looked like, and that's what this is all about.
Okay.
And I may add, I did change some of the design based on that first drawing, which I believe you probably don't have a copy of, but I would suggest that you use this drawing as the final drawing.
Okay.
I'm not sure if someone from the Blue Society had mentioned or if you had mentioned it as far as maybe putting it on something that could be rolled. Did I?
Actually, that came from Mr. Lanoue and in public comment, but there was no, at that meeting, there wasn't a preference in one way or the other. We left it up to the organization to bring it forth.
Well, I don't care. I'm just saying that. I thought that was brought up. And
right.
As a board, we passed it, so.
But I think it was going to be a much bigger one. This one's 48 inches by 32 inches.
And also, it will be removable at a later date. I think we were given a year to rediscuss or relocate if necessary. I believe it was accepted for an annual approval.
Right.
Yeah. I think it belongs on the wall because from using this building for multiple things, the more that we have to move around, things get damaged. It's great, like, to have the whiteboard there because it doesn't take up so much wall space.
Right.
But it's in a, you know, we're pulling a lot out, putting a lot away, and I'm afraid something like this would end up getting some wear and tear from being moved around or knocked over eventually.
Are you a member of the Blues?
I guess I am.
So you're going for a plaque in the future, huh?
No. But I must say they did their award presentation of the talent show that they did in March, and it went over very well. Lauren, I don't know, John.
Chuck, we would like to have you as a member.
Oh, don't count on it. I'm probably as good a singer as
you
I am.
You don't count. You just have to enjoy listening.
You don't have to dance. You don't have to dance.
You're
going to
do the race.
Yeah, I should sign up for the race, too, if I'm going to be in the Blues. So.
Okay, is there really any action on this? Or I
think we just have to approve the concept, and they'll move forward on this, and then put it up on the wall.
I don't think we need a motion or anything. I think it's just, we just say that we like it, right? Yeah, we don't need a motion here.
Thank you.
Board's pleasure.
Yeah, I don't think so. Al's got it worked out.
Just proceed as
designed.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
And it's not just the Blues. For years,
for years in history, WBS actually has a scholarship program that we fund and raise money to give support to students who are in music programs.
Right.
They have an opportunity to buy an instrument they like or study any way they want with $1,000 reward.
That's neat.
What I'm saying is that every year, all the people in the variances have to reapply.
Correct. And we are happy to do that.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any public comments on this? Okay. Item 9, Snowline Joint Unified School District versus Youth Mutual Response Agreement. Okay. Hi. Thanks for having me.
I think I know everybody except for Steve.
Chuck.
I'm John Garner. I'm the principal at the elementary school here.
Very good.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You bet. So I've been communicating with Al over the last several months. I approached him a while back. One of the unfortunate things that we need to do at the elementary school is prepare for any kind of a disaster. We do, the typical fire drills and earthquake drills. We also conduct regular lockdown drills with the increased awareness anyway of school violence. We try to prepare. Hopefully we never have to utilize those plans, but we do want to be prepared if anything tragic like that were to happen. Our lockdown drills in the past, we've always instructed the students and the staff to lock down in the classrooms, in the buildings, lock the doors, don't open the doors. But it occurred to me, and so by that, we've always just implied that the safe zone is indoors. The safe zone is in the rooms. It occurred to me that it's possible that the threat will be coming from indoors We have recesses every day. We have PE out on the field. There's a lot of times during the day where the students are outside, and if the threat were inside, we wouldn't want them going towards the threat. We would want them to go away from the threat, and we would need some place to direct the staff to take the kids. To me, the logical place to send them was this room. And again, hopefully we would never have to use it, but I threw that idea out to Al. I don't know what the staffing is here throughout the school hours, but if someone's not here all the time, then we would need to have a set of keys that I could give to our campus monitors and to our PE teachers and for myself. So in the event that we had to send kids off campus and over to here, we'd be able to get in right away, lock everybody down here, and it would give us a central location that we can inform parents that they could come pick up their kids.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I would like to know, would you be planning, like you have fire drills, that type of thing, would you have an evacuation, time where you actually bring the kids over here so that everybody, teachers and that type of thing, would be aware of that?
Yeah, I think we would have to because anytime you're dealing with the emotions and the adrenaline of an emergency like that, the only thing you can really lean on is experience. And so you have to practice it, I would say once a year at least. We've got very competent staff that are used to doing these kinds of drills, and so I think if we showed them the kids once a year how to evacuate over
here. How often do you do your fire drills?
We do our fire drills once a month. And when was the last time you heard of a school burning down?
Yeah.
But how often do we hear about school shootings, including today?
Unfortunately, you might want to think about what's in order or something like that.
Yeah.
Too.
So we learned a lot from our evacuation a couple years ago with the Blue Cut Fire. We used to evacuate our plan was to line kids up out on the field. The staff would bring the kids out there. We would actually alphabetize the kids so we would be able to retrieve them and return them to parents very quickly. With that Blue Cut Fire, I sent a phone call out to the parents at about noon to come pick up their kids immediately. Within 5 minutes, we had a line of 100 parents at the door. We thought in a hurry that our plan was never going to work. Nobody was going to wait for us to alphabetize kids.
Right.
And so if there was an emergency, so we completely changed our whole system now. The staff, each teacher has their class list, and they are responsible for their 20 kids rather than one secretary responsible for 300. So anyhow, to your point, we would do a similar thing here. I picture us lining. We only have 12 classes,
right,
so it's not too bad. We could line up very easily in this room by class, so that if parents came in, we'd be able to.
Al, how would we work this if we have, some organization using the building at the time the earthquake hits and their evacuation comes? It's just.
Or not an earthquake, something that only impacts the school and doesn't impact the group here. So they're carrying on, have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, that could happen.
And
it would just have to be accommodated. I mean, it'd be completely ad hoc.
But that needs to be in the contract. I like this idea. I think it's great. But as someone who uses the building on Friday mornings,
mm-hmm.
SCA in here on Monday mornings, it's something anybody signing a contract to use this building during the school day should be aware of. Because if they're not aware, just to know.
Well,
it'll probably never happen.
That's fine to put it in the contract. I agree with what Wes is saying. Let's picture an event like that, and you have Farmers Market in here, but we have a school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the kids are going to come in here, and we're going to take over this
there's
room.
There's physically nowhere for that many kids to be.
There would be.
Well,
in an ad hoc situation like that, in an emergency.
Yeah,
you can do a lot of stuff. You can move tables and close the farmer's market down for that. I mean, we're talking
what time does the school close?
Not an inconvenience. It's a difference.
Our school hours are from 8 o'clock to 2:50, so I shouldn't say
farmer's market.
Or the
co-op.
But to answer your question,
we don't have very many people to answer the co-op.
But to answer your question, which I hadn't thought about until right this moment, I would think that, again, the emergency would take precedence. If the board wants something in the agreement for the use of the building, not from the school, but for the vendors that we have, we can just put another space on there and, yeah.
I think it needs to be, and if somebody's renting the building and there is any possibility that it could suddenly be inundated with 300 kids, there should be something in the fine print about that.
There might already be something in there, either for emergency or some extraordinary circumstance.
Well, what you're talking about is more of the agreement that you would have with your...
That's what I'm saying.
The other is not so much this document.
No, not this document. I'm talking about the rental. The rental agreement to the community building.
Yeah, we could take a look at that.
Man, it could just be a one line, you know.
Mm-hmm. If that's the consensus of the board, I'll put something together and bring it next week.
I have a question. Is this where these red lines come from? Are these your red lines?
No,
they're mine.
No, this is a water agency agreement that we're using and crossing out stuff that's not applicable to Wrightwood. And
has John seen this? Have you seen this?
Al shared this with me a couple of weeks ago. I shared it with our risk management director. And there was only one part in here that raised a red flag, and it's minor, but it's on page 26, Article 7, about the utilities, saying that the requesting member would reimburse the CST for utilities.
It's not just utilities. It's personnel, equipment, materials and supplies, records, all of that. All of Article 7... deals with.
I'm talking about Article 7, I guess Section C.
Yeah.
Specifically utilities. Number one, there wouldn't be a real way to measure that, but also I'd like to say that since the school district donates its facilities to the CSD and the community quite a bit, that favor be returned.
Just like to have C crossed
off. So it's just C then?
It's just C.
Okay.
I would say even without what you guys donated, that you should not charge for.
No, I agree.
An emergency situation, it's all kids of our town.
So have you looked over this over then, Steve?
Yeah, well, like you're familiar with it. Okay, so this is the document that, originally the school district provided Al with kind of a two-page document.
Okay.
It didn't really cover all the legal requirements that have to be in mutual aid agreement. So I provided Al with a template, the water district template.
Gotcha.
Al marked it up, provided it over to the school district, and then the school district said that was fine, except for Article 7. So what I'm hearing now is just subsection C of Article 7.
Correct.
Which.
So do you agree with that, John? We just get rid of C?
Well, you know, the staff, you know, charging them for our staff.
The staff are
during,
here.
You know, during the week, they're here from, what, 8 to 1 during the week. So
our staff, basically, Tammy's here from 8 to 1 on Monday through Thursday.
Right.
Jim's here from 8 to 1 Thursday through Sunday.
Right. Well, my point being, John mentioned that if he gets the keys and whatever, if our staff's not here and it's locked up, they're going to handle that aspect anyway.
Correct.
And if not, we're paying the staff anyway for
being here. And they're going to handle it regardless.
I don't see where we want
right.
it.
I don't see us requiring any use of personnel.
No.
I don't see us requiring any use of equipment except for maybe a microphone. Which I probably wouldn't need in the room aside anyway. The only thing would be utilities. Those kids would be quiet.
Yeah, they'll be quiet.
they would be quiet in that situation. I record.
Well, I'm happy to entertain.
So I can't. I would be fine with just the utilities.
Yeah. Just utilities. So cross off utilities. Leave everything else.
I don't see it.
Okay, let's do that.
And I would also recommend striking Article 10. Article 10 deals with. It to be where there are multiple parties, more than just two parties, to the agreement, and then in the event of an emergency that involves only two parties, then the non,
yeah.
And the signatories who were really non-parties,
yeah,
did not, would be identified because this is a new party agreement.
I agree. You guys agree with that?
Okay.
Yeah, I just strike it. You agree with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. So the request, I believe, Al, I forget what the exact number was. Was it eight keys? Seven, eight,
somewhere around that window.
Okay, we can talk about that, but really all I would need from you, I mean, in addition to approving this pact is...
Would you pay for those keys?
Sure.
Okay.
Actually, I think I have them, but that's fine.
Whatever. No, I mean, we still got to replace them, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I just want you guys to know then that those keys will be dispersed to staff members.
Yeah, and we'll have to keep track of that. So if we change the keys, yeah, the locks get changed, so we'll have to remember that. General manager have to remember that and reissue the keys.
Our campus monitors, they don't take those keys home. They retrieve them, you know, receive them from the secretary each day when they come in on the shift. Don't leave campus.
Do you have a log type of system? Let's say that teacher or staff loses a key. Do you have a procedure for that? I'm sure you do already for the keys you have now, right? You have to, if they lose a key, then we might have to rekey everything.
It would depend which key was lost. If it was just the classroom key, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But if it was a master key, which we only have.
If I could add something?
Yeah.
We don't know how many keys, because we've never changed the locks. We don't know how many keys are actually floating in this community.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that we were going to do.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about it, and then we were able to adjust the codes. And so we have a code for everybody who comes in. You'd be getting a code. Maybe we'd have a code for each staff member.
Yeah.
Alarm code.
Yeah.
And so we'd know who's using the building and when.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah, we've really relied on that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If we had just one code, that would be fine. We wouldn't need to issue a bunch of different codes to the staff members.
Yeah. Could be problematic if you change staff and the code gets around. I mean, that's the problem we had when the CSD took the building over, is everybody had the code and it was just random people were coming in.
How many digits is the code?
Four.
Okay, that's the same as our school alarm.
Right.
And every individual staff member has their own code there.
Yeah.
So if we could...
It would be the same because you would have to maintain that.
Yeah.
So if somebody left
their
list,
yeah.
Coming
them
out
every day,
unless you
do so. So here's a list of eight. You assign them to whoever on your side.
No. Well, my thought would be to use the same codes they use for the school.
Oh.
It's the last four digits of their social security number. So
you probably shouldn't say this publicly.
I think that would be wise because
what I would just say is, I'll work it out with John.
Okay.
You know, and
you work it out with
John. They do need something simple because an emergency situation, we don't want them forgetting their code.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So should we recap on what we said?
I would really highly recommend to change your code system.
All right. So do we need more discussion, or can I make a motion?
No, I just wanted to say I don't think we should charge them for the keys because, like Mr. Garner said, we use the field for softball 9 weekends every season.
I agree.
Okay.
So I agree. I don't think we should charge them for anything.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to make a motion that we accept the mutual response agreement with Wrightwood Elementary School with the following changes. Article 7, Section C would be struck. And Article 10 would be struck.
Correct.
And I'd also recommend that B, 2, and 3 be reinserted. And that recitals. The definitions in Article 2.
Article 2.
Oh, what are the definitions?
Those definitions are used in the requesting member response.
Second.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you, John.
All right, thank you.
Okay, any public comments on this last item? Okay. Resolution 10. 2019-06, establishing policy procedures for the disposal of surplus district property. All right.
This was brought to the board last month.
Yeah.
With a real rough draft. The board basically asked that Mr. Kennedy, smooth things up, adjust. And this is the document that was adjusted and created for the board. I personally have, I think it's A-OK.
Okay. And Steve, you've looked at all this, right?
Yeah. So what came back to, was brought to the board was the idea of what to do with the extra tables and chairs.
Yeah.
And the direction that we received from the board was to prepare a underlying policy for the board that could be used as a sort of a roadmap on how to handle these types of procedures. And so general manager prepared an initial draft, which kind of outlines the sort of the definitions of inventorial equipment at the $2,000 limit, with the furnishings being a $200 limit, and then with the definition of salvage and with surplus inventory, mm-hmm. and then the process that would be laid out for how to handle inventorial equipment and surplus inventory and how to dispose of it. This is modeled a little bit after the Phelan Pinion Hills policy, but with a lower limit. The limit is $2,200.
Right.
So I took that with what the general manager prepared, and then made some more or less language changes to it, and it's brought to the board for consideration tonight.
Okay.
The only thing I would say that I would add is that I know they didn't change the date from 7th of May, so I'd make it today's date, obviously. If you guys approve today.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you have this on your computer?
Yeah, we have it on
there. So you could fix this and print off, I could sign it if we approve it. Okay.
Absolutely.
And we really got to go through this bid process and
yeah, wow, yeah,
got to be an attorney.
Well, there is, there is some latitude. If the board determines, if you look at section 4. If it is determined that such property only has salvage value, the general manager may proceed with the disposal thereof.
Right.
By
But the board would have to determine that.
So and salvage is defined in section 2C as any district reclaimed or discarded equipment, material, furniture, or supply which has a reasonable resale value less than the applicable limits for inventorial equipment, and that's where you have the 2,200.
Yeah.
So if it's under 2,200 breakdown, then you can proceed directly into the salvage.
Now that's for the point. Now to just go through the workflow, it would be Al would have to come to the board and say, hey, I've got this equipment. It's just not worth anything. It's worth $1,000. He presents that to the board, then we have to approve that and say this is salvageable, and then
it's salvage,
and then, or this thing. I'm sorry, this is salvage,
uh-huh.
and then he could do whatever he wants with it after that.
Yes, and then there is a second ability of the board to if the board determines that the property is obsolete with no reasonable resale, or even salvage value. The general manager can bring that to the board, and the board could make it. If the board determines that, then the board could just simply donate without even having to go through the salvage procedures.
Okay.
Is there anything in here that says we give priority to Wrightwood organizations before we go outside of Wrightwood?
does not specifically say that, but you could, there isn't anything wrong with saying that. The C1 talks about salvage items determined to be surplus may be sold to recycle centers, other agencies, private businesses. I mean, we could certainly put a priority language there, as well as priority language in the donation part.
Well, I mean, but I think that's up to the board anyways, right? I mean, the board can say that at any time. I hate to constrain, I hate to build in a constraint when we don't have to.
Well, it's not really building a constraint in, Wes. It's just saying we got six, as an example for the chairs, we've got six organizations. Can you use them? No. Okay. Al's got a couple organizations down the hill. Great. But I would just like to make sure that we at least give the organizations in Wrightwood a shot at it first.
But the board can do that anytime. The board can, and Al can say that, and we can say, well, can you make sure that you
address the
Wrightwood? That you would, you know, why do we have to have that
language?
That language. Because Al has to come to the board anyways, or the general manager has to come to the board anyways and say, hey, this is salvage, or this is what I want to do with that, and then give direction at that point.
You know, my point is I just want to make sure that Wrightwood gets the first opportunity to say no.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, but I don't want to constrain a future board or what, you know,
how would that constrain them?
Because then it's part of the, they would have to either have to remove that language, or, you know, it would always have to be like we're saying to future boards, you must do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah, right. With taxpayer pay for it.
And if Wrightwood doesn't want it, then that's fine. But they ought to at least have the first right of refusal. I think anyway.
The board's going to say it anyway. If one thing it adds right now is it streamlines the process a little bit more, such that the GM already knows this is what the board's going to say. So I got to check with Wrightwood organizations first before they ever bring an alternate plan to the board.
Yeah, that's right.
So it would help streamline that, and it would ensure that future boards had to give Wrightwood organizations their priority.
I just don't see the big thing about adding a sentence that says you go to the Wrightwood organizations first. That's all.
Hold on.
I don't know what that means. Go to the Wrightwood organizations first. Does that mean does that mean you call them and you have to wait X number of days? And then, you know, you can have this whole giant procedure where stuff is sitting in the parking lot for 2 weeks while we go through this.
Well, I mean, we've already got the procedure in the sense of you've got to go to bid, you got to have the limit of the bid.
So why add that?
Because I want to make sure that Wrightwood organizations have the first right to bid, to be asked about it, to... buy or get the salvage. That's all.
So that also includes not just the donation and the salvage procedure, but also the bid procedure.
It doesn't mean that Wrightwood trumps everything else.
If somebody outbids them, they outbid them.
They outbid them. It means that all things being equal, Wrightwood organizations are going to have priority.
Yeah, but I just think just keeping it simple.
Right. Right. I think it depends on what it is, right? So if it depends on what it is, you want to give the power to whatever the board is to say, yeah, okay, this makes sense.
So if it's in there, can the board overrule it later?
Well, yeah. I mean, it would seem to me that when the inventorial equipment is such that it is sent out to bid, and the highest bidder pays for it, then there really doesn't seem to be a need to provide a priority for Wrightwood because the money is coming into Wrightwood.
Uh-huh.
Wrightwood's already getting the benefit of that because it's coming. But if it's donated or it's salvage, then I could understand why there would be a policy there that with respect to those two types of procedures, and you're not talking about a lot of money, especially on the donation, you're not talking about any money.
Or contribution.
Okay, but the salvage is minimal amount. That I guess there wouldn't be any problem with having a priority there. Again, it's a policy call for the board. A priority for Wrightwood organizations, if that's the will of the board. Ultimately, though, it's a board policy. And if the board wants to deviate from that policy, then it certainly has the ability to do so.
Then I think we should put it in those two areas, donations and salvage. Right. I don't think it belongs in the bid process.
No.
But just as you guys have explained to me in the past when I said, why do we need to have this written down? Because the next board may not see things the way we all see it. And so I think it's sound that... It's sound logic that Wrightwood, that they could change it, yes. But in the meantime, until it becomes a priority for them, it ensures that that's the policy.
Okay. All right. So Steve, you're going to make that modification, and then I guess, or Al, you can make the who makes a modification. Then we got to put it on the agenda again, vote on it again.
We'll put it on the consent calendar. If that's the only adjustment, we can change it, put it on the consent calendar.
Right.
And
just approve the consent calendar, and that'll approve this. And
right.
We can do that next week.
Yes.
Well, I've got to remember, I'm getting the packet out like tomorrow or Thursday.
Is that the will of the board? Is that on salvage and donation part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get something back.
Because we want to see these tables gone.
Is that also going to be on the agenda that... Because we've got two different things. There's the policy, and then also the implementation of the policy as it relates to those tables and chairs. I don't pretend to know the value of what the tables and chairs are, whether they would fall within the limits here. I mean, I think it might be a good test case. So I think
I remember Daryl saying that stuff was originally donated anyway.
Correct.
So if you look at definition of inventorial equipment, second sentence is furnishings, et cetera, costing more $200 or more are inventory. So that would be an inventorial equipment. That's the threshold there. I don't know if that's over $200.
Well, it says a purchase price of $2,000. So if it was donated, there was no purchase price. There's no cost associated.
Yeah, cost.
Neither seems like...
I wasn't aware of the history of that until after the last board meeting, where apparently it did come from a church, which was one of the concerns that we talked about before, was, you know, the issues there about, you know, First Amendment type issues, but since it did come from a church, I'm not sure that you have that same type of concern there about donating public equipment too.
Right.
And I think where we left it is Al was going to check with the five churches and two camps to see if anybody was interested.
Within Wrightwood
to get it. I don't know where that stands or if we have...
Well, I haven't done any of that because I didn't have a policy to follow.
Okay, so then this will be this policy will be on the consent calendar for next week.
Sound that way.
Then we'll deal with the tables and chairs hopefully at the meeting after that.
Well, I think you can put it on as an action item later on in the
agenda. Well, you guys have already said what you want to happen.
Are
you going to have time to do that by next week?
Yeah.
That's
sure. You got it, right?
Why not? Why not? But damn.
We have to put it on the agenda so we can approve it, and then because we can't do it now.
Yeah, but that's a good point, Director Schneider. It does say costing $200. Mm-hmm. So if the history of the whatever is being surplus is such that it did not cost the district any money, then I think you're free to dispose of it without having to go through the bid process.
Right.
And you can go straight.
Yeah. Right.
So you can go straight to salvage and donation. That was the will.
Okay.
Will.
So can that happen now then?
Cannot happen now. It's not agendized for that.
Okay.
But that can happen at the next meeting.
Next week.
Yeah.
Because we've got a plaque and stuff that's got to get mounted on that wall over there.
Clear it out.
Sorry.
Okay.
So do we need approval or
No.
Just direction and then we'll be on the consent, the resolution.
Yeah, we just need to add that language. Yeah. And then we'll put on the consent.
And I'm still unsure of next Tuesday, the 7th, as far as the item, I understand this, consent, but the actual getting rid of them or donating them or contributing them or whatever.
Well, you would declare them surplus. So the action item, it would be after the consent item, it would
right.
be an action item, discussion of possible action regarding declaring that stuff surplus and giving direction on as to its disposal.
Right.
And then what we would do is we would take a look at the policy and see where that stuff fits in the policy.
Well, we literally couldn't give them to a church next on the 8th of May.
Yeah, we could.
Okay. Yeah. And according to the policy that's going to be on the consent calendar, then we would have to know that 7 organizations in Wrightwood turned it down?
2 separate issues. You have the policy.
Right.
The resolution which sets forth the policy.
Right.
Then the application of that policy as it relates to that stuff.
Right.
That would not be on that part would not be on the consent calendar. That part would be an action item. Al would present as on that item as to what his research is as to the direction that the board has given him regarding whether there are any organizations within Wrightwood that would be interested in that. And the board would look at that information in the context of this policy and then make a determination that you're surplusing the furnishings and making a determination pursuant to the policy whether you want to sell it as salvage or whether to donate it without any compensation.
Yeah, at the same meeting. At the same meeting. Because it's just
right.
a later item on that.
Is there a way we could get that on the website so that people in town know that are associated with these churches or camps or whatever that they need to make sure they get together with Al and say there's interest or there's not?
Yeah, sure.
That's up to the general manager.
Yeah, absolutely. We could, Al could make a separate post.
Make phone calls.
Yeah.
It's a week of time. We're not going to get around that fast for everybody to come solicit that stuff.
Well,
if we're trying to decide this next Tuesday, Al's going to need to call each of those organizations and see if they...
If I could interject a thought, what I think I'd do, or we do, is I put it on the website, I put it on the Facebook, and make the calls, but I'd first have to establish, you know, if there's a value, correct, Mr. Kennedy?
So the board would have to make that determination based upon your
my recommendation. So I would probably do it as an as-if. You know, if this happens, you know, that type of thing.
Didn't we just agree that because they were donated to us, that it could be salvage?
If that's what the record reflects, is that's what happened, that there was no cost.
Right.
Because that's the standard, cost $200. So if it did not cost the district $200, then the board can go straight
to salvage.
Yeah, and pass go and go straight to
right.
salvage and, or donation.
And really, we're only talking about the tables and the chairs.
Yeah,
right,
but that's
now.
All, but we
correct.
Can
we'll be in the future. Yeah, I understand that. But if we've already agreed to that aspect of it, and that's going to be in the consent calendar,
No. That part's not in the consent calendar. The policy is in the consent calendar.
Right.
So we have to get the policy because this policy doesn't have the language that you wanted in there. So we have to change it, put the language in, that gets put on the consent calendar.
Okay.
Now it's policy.
Right.
Now it's solved. It's policy. That's
right.
It.
Correct.
Then on the later on in the agenda, we decide what the fate is of that. The thing, the object that we're using the policy to determine that.
Right.
Okay.
But we've already said we're going to donate it,
or it's going to be salvaged once we get
up to speed.
It has to be in the meeting and agendized that way. We can't do that.
The board has not.
I'm not saying it.
The board has not taken any action on that, Director Franklin.
Right.
The board has there is information that has been discussed regarding, but the board hasn't taken any action.
Right.
And made that official determination yet.
Correct.
So you're setting the policy first, then you'll make the determination later on in the agenda.
Okay.
Right.
I'm just trying to get it to where we can do something May 7th as opposed to pushing it back to
June. That's what we're trying to
do. I'll bring the recommendations
to them. Everything's going to happen on May 7th.
Fine. So where are the chairs?
They're on the stage. According to Cam. Behind it, they're behind the curtain.
We're moving forward on this.
Okay.
Any public comments on this? All right.
Thank you.
Okay. No action on that. And now we're going to recess for closed session.
Go ahead and take the mic.
Hey, John. Okay.